Tigers take 2 or 3 over the weekend. Those who were there Friday night have said playoff atmosphere. The players echoed that all weekend. They take 2 or 3, John. Make a statement. Fans showed up. They made their own statement as well. 248-539-9797. The statement that this team made was?
To me, it's just a really consistent team. There's going to be bubbles of ups and downs. And we saw, if your bubble of down is because it's the Chicago White Sox and they're a bad team that you split the series, and then you follow it up by beating and winning a series against one of the best teams, if not the team that's playing the best in the National League right now, okay, so be it. It's they continue to create space between them and the rest of the division. They have a 7-game lead over the next closest team in the division, and that right now is the Minnesota Twins. Results are what they are. We have very little to complain about because this team is just, they're not relying on one bat.
No.
One day it's Torque, one day, and just about every day it's Green, but then it's Carp, and it's what they're doing in the field. Like great defensive plays by Javi Baez, by Kerry Carpenter, at multiple different positions by Baez, Parker Meadows. Like it's at every single day, it's somebody else that steps up for this team.
Put it in perspective. They win a lot of series. We're used to this. This is their most impressive series win, right? I mean, the only other team that we think that you'd like to measure up against is the Dodgers, and they lost that series. This is their most significant series win of the season. This is the thing they can hold highest over all other accomplishments and say, that's a World Series hopeful. We took 2 or 3. And by the way, we shut them out on Sunday. Jack is back. This is now 4 straight starts with 6-plus innings. He struck out 9. He gave up no runs. He got a little help from Carpenter with a cannon throw, bullet throw from right field. But John, Jack's back would be a statement from the weekend. That's their signature series win among all series wins they've collected this season, right? They've beaten the Yankees, right? They've go through some of the series. They beat the Padres. This is their most significant series win of the year.
I would say yes. The only other ones that I would point to would be, winning a series against the Padres, but sweeping the series against the Giants, a team that is very similar in construction and record to the Cubs, and they swept them. And
Cubs are a different animal when that offense. I mean, that's the big difference between the two. They come in scoring the most runs in baseball. Scooble holds them to 1. Flaherty holds them to 0. Bullpen does their job.
But it's kind of like they faced the Giants right after they lost that series to Cleveland. And it's the response that they always seem to have. And then it felt like a loss, but it was splitting the series against the Sox, and then they win a series against the Cubs. It's always the response. They don't go on prolonged losing streaks. 3. Count it. 3 is the longest losing streak that they have been on this year, and I believe that's only happened twice. To start the season and then against Cleveland.
We'll get to the phones, and we got people who took a text as well. My biggest statement is, the Tigers have caught the Lions. The crowds, the buy-in, and I think this is the central point. They have nothing left to prove in the regular season. Their season is defined by how they perform in the playoffs. They're collecting series wins. They're beating good baseball teams. They will be defined by what they do in the playoffs, much like the Lions. I mean, the Lions are at the point now where I've heard this from fans. I don't care if they win 11 games, just get in. Because they're only defined by what they do. At this point, yeah, we expect them to win a division. They will only be defined by what they do when the lights are brightest in October and November. In that way, they caught the Lions.
Yes, because this is a team that we believe is bound for the postseason. They're coming off a postseason run last year. Even though it was historic, no one would have predicted it. But they have taken that, catapulted themselves into what they're doing this year, and we expect that, first of all, they're not going to have to play in that first 3-game series. We expect that they're going to get a chance to play in the ALCS, DS, in the World Series. Like, that is the expectation, is that they're going to be one of the last 2 teams playing.
Sound familiar? getting a bye and favorable seating and being judged by being the last team standing. I think they've caught them in terms of how fans feel about the baseball team. We feel the same way about the football team. Let's get to Nolan in Rochester. Nolan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up?
I was at the game Friday. The atmosphere was absolutely insane. My girlfriend and I go to quite a few Tigers games, and that was by far, I mean, up there with them clinching last year as far as the atmosphere goes. So definitely props to them. But I wanted to say, you know, their offense as of the last 2 weeks obviously hasn't been phenomenal as it has been to start the year. But even when the offense isn't producing like it usually has been, they're still finding ways to win. They're still finding those big hits that turn out to be big later on in the game and stuff. And to be able to do that against a team like the Cubs really shows you that this is a great baseball team and gets you hopeful for the playoffs as well. So I think their offense is going through it a little bit right now, but it's not something to worry about. They'll get back to it. And I was just really happy that they were able to pull out that win yesterday.
Yeah, you want to see how you stack up against playoff competition, and that is the team with the second-best record in all of baseball. And you want to know, hey, if your offense is scuffling a little bit, because, hey, that's what's going to happen in the playoffs, can you find ways to win games? Even in this stretch, they're winning more than they lose. Against good pitching, right? You throw in Royals and Giants, and Cubs are a good team, and Guardians got their number there. Winning record across the board, though, during this, quote, offensive slump.
How about this? The statement the team made is that management needs to be a significant buyer at the deadline.
I'd buy that, yeah.
Significant is you need to address the corner and you need to address the bullpen because this team's ready to win.
Yep.
But it has a few flaws that they're getting by with right now with the slumping hitting the last couple of weeks. But they're still, 10-7 since the Guardian series started. And that's kind of where the line was where they started, you know, getting these hiccups and in the... With scoring runs. I know Chapman over the weekend had a stat about them when they scored three or less runs. They did it a bunch in this, you know, 17-game stretch or whatever. So I think we all agree, right? I mean, they've got to go get something because they're ready to win. They're ready. But everybody, the other contenders are going to add.
Yep, that's the key. The Yankees, they'll add. The Mets, they'll add. The Dodgers, go down the list. The Cubs, and yes, the Tigers. That is not a cry for help, but a rallying cry.
Yeah, I mean, since the Cleveland series, not counting that last win against Cleveland, this is a team that's 9-4.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you lose a series to Cleveland, but then you sweep the Giants, you win a series against Kansas City, the worst you did against a bad team is split a series with the Sox, and then you win a series against the Cubs.
What statement did they make to you? That is their most impressive series win of the year. You're looking for your signature wins. They played the Dodgers early. Mm-hmm. This is the team with the best record of the National League, and they shut them down on Sunday and Friday, really. I mean, you're 1-2. That's the other headline, by the way. You have a number 1 and number 2. Jack is back. Tigers take 2 of 3. 248-539-9797. And I said the observation I have, the Tigers have caught the Lions. In terms of how the fans view them. They are packing the park. We know what the crowds are like for Lions games. Tigers fans are showing up and showing out. And they're also the same in that their expectations, not about the regular season anymore. They have nothing to prove. It's going to be whether or not they achieve what they need to do in the postseason.
Well, the expectation for me is that they're going to win every series. I know that's not realistic. I know they're not going to win every series. But going into everyone... That's not what I expect. I mean, they lost the series to Cleveland, and they responded against the Giants. Not an easy team to respond against. The same thing where I know that they didn't lose the series to the Sox, but they didn't win it either. I mean, right. They split it. So what do they do? They respond by winning a series against one of the better teams in baseball.
Some ticket texters. I was curious to see how they would show up after a disappointing Sox series. The Cubs series is our statement series so far, and we are 100% contenders. That's the statement that we made. The statement made this weekend is that Riley Green has a major strikeout problem that needs to be fixed ASAP. Texter says 86 strikeouts in 65 games. He struck out 4 times on Saturday.
I looked that up from the texter to see how many he had. He leads all of baseball in strikeouts by hitters.
He also leads the Tigers in batting average. He's second in home runs and OPS. I'm not sounding any alarms.
So he either strikes out or he gets a
hit. Or he delivers as one of the best players on the team.
He's second in batting average. Dylan Dingler.
Oh, he didn't qualify. I don't know why he doesn't qualify, but he didn't show up. Like when you go to ESPN, they have the leader is Riley Green.
Okay.
It should be Dingler. You're right.
Well, he didn't hit a lot in April.
No,
Dingler in terms of the ABs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, he should. That's a stupid.
It takes a while to catch up. It's strange.
Yeah. Anyway, Dingler's played 50 games.
Yeah. You would think that that would be enough.
Yeah. You're correct.
Versus the 65. Fine. I mean, 15 less games, but.
Riley Green is second in batting average.
Right.
Runs, yeah. OPS. I'm not going to do the, he strikes out too much routine.
So does Spencer Torkelson, but Spencer Torkelson has 15 home runs and he leads the team in RBIs. Like, I mean, it's okay.
The team collectively, quote, strikes out too much. If you look at it, they strike out a lot.
The other thing about Torque is, I mean, without going down a huge rabbit hole, in essence, and I've got to imagine this one in terms of qualifying at bats or games, he leads the team in OPS at 842 because the only three guys ahead of him are Jamai Jones, who's right now an astronomical 3.5. Brewer Hicklin. And Wenciel Perez.
Guys who have only been here a minute.
Yeah.
In terms of teams' strikeouts, the Tigers are fourth most in all of baseball as a team. Like, if you want to put a pin in that and say in the postseason that concerns you because you can't have empty at-bats, okay.
But
who are the other teams?
Bad teams. Rockies, Angels, and Red Sox.
I not having done the deep dive into the stat, and maybe I'll get a chance to do that tonight for tomorrow's show, but when the Tigers are at their best, even if they are striking out, it's in an at-bat that goes 7 or 8 pitches.
They work them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got here? Jack is back. Love it. Go Flaherty. Jason in Royal Oak. I'm happy that the Tigers caught the Lions on the success train as long as ticket prices don't catch up with Lions prices. Ticket Texter says, I want to challenge that notion that they've caught the Lions in terms of expectations. The Lions have stacked back-to-back quality seasons.
Well, I mean, last year was a playoff run by the Tigers.
This would be back-to-back for the Tigers, yes?
Yeah,
we are setting up for this to potentially play out, and I find it fascinating that Scott Harris might have a chance to do at the deadline what Brad Holmes didn't do this offseason.
Okay, this offseason, but if we're talking about deadline, what did Brad Holmes do at the deadline? He added the best available pass rusher that he possibly could when he needed to.
Yeah, I know. He was dealt a hand he couldn't recover from because the injuries came after the deadline. Most of the ones that killed them. He addressed Hutch the best he could.
Right.
Right. What I'm saying is if Scott Harris goes on to win a World Series because what he did at the deadline and we didn't do what we needed to do maybe this offseason, I mean, it's been the topic of the station this year so far is the need for edge rusher.
Yeah, but I think, so just my take on that, and I understand where you're coming from, we're comparing two different things. Off-season acquisitions versus trade deadline acquisitions.
Or we're saying one GM pushed all in and the other one didn't.
I hadn't thought of this way. Brad Holmes is regarded as the best general manager, architect, builder in the city. Is there a world where Scott Harris takes over that top spot at the end of the year? Absolutely, there is.
And I will love the fact that we're talking about that argument.
A race
versus,
to the top.
Yeah, who is the worst general manager? Like, that's the radio that we've had that to do. Yeah. Tom Milliken.
248-539-9797. A couple more texts. This one, actually, two texts had a similar take on this. One message I took out of this weekend, pitching chaos was an anomaly last year. The bullpen days have not worked well this year, including Saturday when they got shelled. They need to keep adding starting pitching. Dave in a car, and an unnamed texter says the same thing. We probably won't see Job until post-All-Star. No one knows what's going on with Olsen's finger, but I don't think we see Cobb pitch for the Tigers. We need another arm because bullpen and opener days don't work like that.
They haven't this year. Certainly they have not worked like they did at the end of last year where you had one starter, you had Montero, but you were going to use him in creative ways, and then it was bullpen day, bullpen day, bullpen day, pitching chaos. Now you have Scooble and Flaherty, so you have a one and a two. The question is, going into the postseason, we're a long way from that, but the trade deadline is 6 weeks away. It doesn't mean you can't make it a move now. It's not likely. It's probably going to be closer within 2 weeks of the trade deadline, but who's going to be three and who's going to be four?
Yeah, I mean, Olsen's finger shouldn't be a long-term concern.
You wouldn't think so. Inflammation.
Right. And Mize is healthy, but hasn't looked the way he started the year. But if he can get back to that form, you've got a 1-2-3 and a 4. You only need four for the postseason. And they'll know if they've got those four by late July, and they can make a decision. Mm-hmm. 97.1.